2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for being with us. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. It's a Tuesday. Glad to have you here with us. Normally, we'd have Devin Cafusi from the University of Utah and the Utes. Thanks to some differential of scheduling this week because of the Aaron Lowe Memorial and because of they've shifted a lot during this week. So we're going to have Devin on tomorrow night to break down a little bit of that University of Utah Utes football win over USC, and then looking forward to ASU for this weekend. In the meantime, Scott Mitchell, my partner to the right here. What's going on, buddy? Everything good?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to be here. Lovely. It's Tuesday, right?
It is a Tuesday, right? Yes.
Yeah, love Tuesday. I don't really like Tuesday. There's no Tuesday night football.
Yeah. Although there is some sort of a battle in college football right now between, I think it's Louisiana and Appalachian State. Does that count? It's a Tuesday night game, so... you've got baseball playoffs, though. We've got all sorts of things to get to, but we're going to start off as we always do with our 705 cut. Let's start right there.
The cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
And the cut brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. Scott, the Seattle Kraken. I wanted to bring this up before we
started. Just wanted to say that name, didn't you?
I like it because, look, Seattle's got an NHL team. It's been a long time in the waiting. They knew they were getting a franchise and took a while to be able to announce that, and then took a while to get the actual team itself. And now they're starting up tonight on ESPN, and ESPN's picking up hockey again. So we've got a lot to get to, and hockey is not the name of this game. This is going to be us talking a little bit of college football. Here locally, I think that we've already had an up-and-down season, right? We've already looked at this season of local college football, and we're going to dole out some – we do this with MVPs all the time, but fake awards for real people. That's what we're going to do. This is not MVPs, but it's kind of mid-season awards, things that have so far been an amazing surprise, or guys who have been just a really, really – breath, or just have lived up to the hype or have been a breath of fresh air, whatever you want to make it. In this case, Scott, let's start off first with some of the dominant storylines. Number one, first and foremost, I think for a lot of folks, as it pertains to the college football, please tell me if I'm just overdoing it as a guy who may look at things through blue-colored glasses, but the Big 12 expansion and then BYU being added to that, is that the
rose-colored?
I'm saying that they're blue for me, though.
Oh.
I'm saying,
oh, you're talking
correct
about
me
you.
if they're going to be blue.
Okay.
Or too blue for you. So the Big 12 expansion and BYU added to that list and being put into that, is that, can we look at that and say that's the biggest college football story out of the state this year so far? Halfway through the year, is that the biggest one so far?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, don't even worry about your blue glasses on that one. No.
Okay. I wanted to get your thoughts on it first.
I have never, ever, 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 ever liked independence. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me. I can't stand it. I hate it for BYU. I don't think it's good. And the fact that this expansion's happened, really the fact that, but you know, part of why it happened was this alliance, I think, that happened with these other three conferences saying, wait a minute, we got to have everything together.
Texas and Oklahoma leaving, forces everybody else to start thinking about it.
And I think
everything.
By them putting a pause gave expansion an opportunity. And, of course, BYU. I think BYU is probably on the very top end of the wish list for the Big 12 Conference. And I'm elated for people who love football in the state of Utah. This is a Christmas gift that came way, way early. Definitely the biggest story of the year.
Utah is 3-2 now on the season.
Doesn't it feel like the fortunes of these two football programs kind of – has shifted maybe just a little bit?
I think obviously this last weekend with a loss from BYU, people get deflated and probably unnecessarily so. Like they look at it like glass half empty goes immediately for I think a lot of BYU fans who saw that this weekend.
Well, I think part of it though is when you're in the state that BYU's in, like you have to be perfect or you're just going to get excluded.
Right.
I mean
that's the independence thing, right?
And that's a tough thing to be a part of.
But see with Utah. And then add to it the fact that BYU beat Utah for the first time in forever. So that was a major storyline on top of it. It was all happening all at the same time. But then
That feels like it happened last season.
It just feels like a long time ago. But this is what we're saying. Like BYU is now 5-1. They're six games into their season, Scott.
Wow.
And we said this was going to happen. It was going to be, I mean, ASU comes in, they're 5-1. The Utes are 3-2. They're five games into their season already. And so, yeah, but things feel very much different for this Utah team. The dominant storyline for Utah, is it the passing of Aaron Lowe and what those last 2 weeks have done walking up to that win against USC? What's that storyline that came out of Utah? Because honestly, it was going to be before last weekend, it was probably going to be mostly a year of, I don't know what this team is, and boy, this might be a rebuilding year for Kyle Whittingham.
I think the dominant story is clearly dealing with a lot of off-field tragedy, really. I mean, and
movement too. You think about Charlie Brewer. First of all, Charlie Brewer left. It also felt like a year ago, right?
Yeah,
like,
it really was a long time ago already. And so, I think the storyline maybe will probably to this point, yes, that's the biggest storyline. I think is the switch. It's the switch from Charlie Brewer to Cam Rising, but it's also how this team has really handled and will handle the off field tragedies that they've gone through. I mean, that's just really hard. You could sense in the game that it was galvanizing to this team at USC. You could sense that it was on their mind. You could sense that they really wanted to play well and that they had something really, really significant to kind of fight for.
Well, let's do this then, real quick. Let's dole out some team MVPs here. We'll start at Utah State, where it's a pretty easy one. Devin Tompkins leads the Mountain West in yards and yards per game as that wideout. He's been a breath of fresh air for that offense for Utah State. Let's go to Utah, though. I'm going to make you kind of pick one here.
The best player.
Team MVP halfway through the season.
That's not even. There's not even close.
What is it?
It's Devin Lloyd.
Okay,
Devin Lloyd has just been a beast.
Leads the Pac-12 in tackles for loss.
And he has been a difference maker. I think he's a guy that's really kind of kept things together with a young football team. He's a captain. He's
NFL bound.
Yeah, but always seems to be around the football. And you know, he's just had a couple of just incredible interceptions this year. He played in a different position after this last week. They changed up the front, and so he was actually a defensive end, which he played well. And so that's not even close.
I think it's a pretty easy one on the BYU side of things too.
Might be one of the better players in the Pac-12.
Well, leads the Pac-12 in tackles for loss. Mika Tafua leads the conference in sacks, though. Yeah. How about that? I mean, you're going to have these first-team Pac-12 guys. I mean, you expected it out of Devin Lloyd.
But early on, you get these run-heavy teams, and now starting to play teams that throw the ball a little bit, you got more opportunities.
Easy one for BYU, Tyler Allgeier, 637 yards through those first six games. He's well on his way to another 1,000-yard season, and he's been that spark plug for BYU. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. We got more to go on the program. I've got a Scott's crystal ball. We've already looked at what the halfway point through the college football season looked like. Give us some predictions next year as Scott sees the future right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us. Hey, guys, Alec.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell and old Alex Geary here. Got some funny music going on.
Yeah, you know what that means? You know what that music is, buddy?
I do.
Scott Mitchell's crystal ball.
It's that time. Uh-oh. He's done it. Now, this is the magic of radio, too, by the way. You're in your car driving around. Scott leans over and picks his backpack up, okay? And he undoes the string there. And then he holds it like a toddler through the segment, He holds it in his lap, and then he peers into the bag. Okay, because you can't get this, you can't get the crystal ball out of the bag.
Oh, no, have you ever watched Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom
right.
and all that stuff?
You can't let it be. No, I can't. My mortal eyes can't see it because I'll melt.
Yeah. Bad things happen.
That's your arc that you got there in the bag. All right, so you got it. You got Scott Mitchell's crystal ball. What we do here is we bust out some scenarios, and Scott's got to stop. He's like digging through the bag. This is not necessary for our fake segment. For our real segment of looking into the future.
I gotta get in the mode.
I know,
right?
Do you have like some fortunes in there too? Like fortune, like you know how all those papers. You ate them?
No, oh, you mean
all the papers?
Oh no, I saved those.
Are you like Santa of the fortune? Put those in the cookies. You like drop them in there?
No, I save.
You save them.
I save my fortunes.
Okay. Now, this is a little bit tough, too. We'll give the scenario there, and then Scott will actually... Sometimes the crystal ball, it just says what it says, right? Isn't that kind of what the deal is? And then we have to
figure out what that means.
I don't know what that means, but... all right, so let's look at this. We're halfway through the college football season. What's the college football playoff look like, Scott? The 1-4, ooh, the college football playoff. Because certainly it looks a little different right now, but there aren't any college football rankings yet, technically. We're still waiting on week 8.
Yes.
For that. So I'm wondering what the college football playoff looks like because I'm really looking forward to it being mixed up a little bit. So do I have any hope on that side of things? Oh, he's looking. Stop.
It says crazy.
It just says crazy.
No.
Oh.
No. Crazy.
Uh-huh.
It says maize and blue.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
WKRP.
Okay.
It has a Herschel Walker.
Oh, wow. Oh. Maybe a Georgia. So we've got Michigan, possibly, if you've got maize and blue.
Maize and blue.
WKRP.
Cincinnati.
Of course, famous radio station out of Cincinnati. And then
gotta have the
Georgia Bulldogs.
And, there's one more.
Oh.
It's got a duck.
Oh, wow. A Pac-12 team may crack in that thing, huh?
Yeah.
And it's not Arizona State. Wow. It's not Utah.
Well, they're not ducks.
I know they're not.
Yeah.
I look at it and maybe it's one of those things.
It said crazy.
Okay. All right. Let me see here. Next up on the on Scott's crystal ball. Hey, how are the Jazz going to be in the regular season? Last year, best team in the regular season. I don't know if we even asked the crystal ball, hey, are they going to be the best team in the regular season last year? Because we didn't think that would be something. But I know that the crystal ball told us some amazing things about the Jazz last year. What about this year?
It said irrelevant.
What does that mean? The team's going to be irrelevant?
No, regular season.
Oh,
irrelevant.
Okay. Well, then what about the postseason? What about the postseason?
Sit, don't ask me that question.
Stop asking.
Postseason?
Yeah, what about the postseason then? Yeah. If it says maize and blue again, I'm going to be really
upset. You know what it says?
What is it?
It says that Nuggets?
What's that mean? They're going to face the Nuggets in the
finals?
In the Western Conference finals?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Jazz and Nuggets in the finals.
The Western Conference finals.
Yeah.
Ooh, I could go for some Jazzy Nuggets.
It
sounds really good. Well, Jazz won they had a preseason game last night. They won by 30 over the
finals, though.
This is the Western
Conference. They won't tell me who's going to win.
Yeah.
It's too early.
That's tough because when you didn't say an Eastern Conference team, I already got a little bit deflated.
I'm sorry.
Because that makes it sound like they're not going to get as.
It just says they're going to play.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it certainly looked good last night. I mean, I know that the preseason doesn't mean much, but, I mean, they ran it up on the Pelicans.
Yes.
Anybody who came in basically had their way with the Pelicans. So,
yeah.
What do you have on that, or in that crystal ball? Ooh, it's swirling around, I'm assuming, in there. Is Alabama, what's the fate of Alabama? If they're not in the college football playoff, then what are we talking about for Alabama then at the end of the year?
Oranges.
Oh, so they'll be in a New Year's Six still. Okay. Yeah. All right. So So the Orange Bowl, I'm assuming, or is
it?
I mean, it's Christmas time. So you said maybe somebody sent Nick Saban a box of oranges.
Oh, that he'll be home for Christmas?
That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah.
Scott, what about Utah? What about the Utes and the Pac-12 South chances? Are they going to be the ones? Are they going to be? Are they going to make it to the Pac-12 championship game? Or
I got to clear off the manure.
Oh, what is that? What's the manure
it's
for?
Covering up the roses.
Oh no! So they're not going to get to the Rose Bowl because. Oh, you think they're going to get to the Rose Bowl? Oh, if the Ducks go to the college football playoff, you say
yeah.
that the Utes are going to go to the Rose Bowl.
Roses.
That is quite an aggressive
take. I'm not saying this.
Here.
The Crystal Ball's take. It's not me.
That's quite an aggressive take by the Crystal Ball. The Crystal Ball, I don't know what it's got going on. Okay, what about BYU? Because that one loss, I think a lot of people just assumed their season was going to be, one of those that kind of goes. Now, this is their last year of independence, and they're also scheduled to play in the Independence Bowl this year, which is quite ironic considering that this is their, one of their last years of independence. So is it that where they're going to end up, or do they have the chances of being in a New Year's Six Bowl still?
It's just showing me a snowball in hell.
Just one.
It's melting.
Their chance of getting
that's
to the
their chance of getting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the crystal ball had a picture of a snowball.
Yeah, it did.
I think you probably
melting.
Just, oh, it was melting.
It was melting.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So
all right.
You can only assume one thing.
Yes.
But it does say independence.
Oh, so maybe the Independence
better.
Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that was very straightforward then. All right, so tell me about the give me some ideas then on this. Give me some ideas in baseball, because we've got right now, you've got the Astros and the Red Sox going to be facing each other in the ALCS.
Yeah,
we don't have the NLDS totally figured out, but who's going to win the World Series this year, Scott? Who's going to win that World Series? Now you still have the Dodgers up for grabs possibly. But even the Brewers and the Braves are in this thing still.
It's actually the Giants.
Oh, wow. So you're saying the San Francisco Giants, best record in all of baseball.
I don't know. It just says the Giants.
I think they won 107 games this year.
Giants.
Pretty dang good. So the Giants.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know who they're going to play, though?
Who are they going to play?
The
Astros.
The Astros.
Yeah, gosh darn it. Yeah.
The Astros, it says, just learned how to cheat better this
year.
Yeah,
they did. Yeah. It says it on the ball.
Yeah, it says, yeah, they didn't get caught.
They're better cheaters this year. Okay, that's good.
I mean, that's really what baseball is and a lot of sports.
Okay.
Is just the better cheaters win.
Switch me gears on the NFL then.
Ooh.
Because now I don't know what to think. Because on the one hand, you've got everyone telling me that the Buffalo Bills are the best team in the NFL. And yet at the same time, you've got Tom Brady who's still doing crazy things down in Tampa Bay. Who's going to be in the Super Bowl this year?
Oh.
Not necessarily even win it, but who are the two teams maybe in the Super Bowl?
Actually, Buffalo's going to win its first Super Bowl.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Like, doesn't
gonna,
even
they're
mince words.
They're going to play the Rams.
So it's going to be a Rams-Bills Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Yeah.
And the Bills are going to win this thing.
Yes.
You don't feel like the crystal ball's bandwagoning like just a little bit too hard right now? Like, settle down.
I would not talk like that, Alex.
Okay.
I cannot repeat.
One really, really good weekend, and then suddenly the crystal ball is all on board with the Buffalo Bills.
No, I just, no, the crystal ball, like, gave
you, can't
you a
say something.
Well, it gave you a gesture.
Okay. 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty on the crystal ball.
No, I was just saying you're number one.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad the crystal ball and I don't see necessarily eye to eye.
Yeah, don't talk back
right.
to the crystal ball.
Well, that's it. That's all the time we have for our crystal ball. We put that thing away. It makes me nervous, man. Get it out of here.
Right here.
Yeah. Seal that thing up. It's like burning my eyes here. Let's take our break here. We've got news, traffic, and weather. When we come back, we've got more to go here on KSL's Unrivaled. In fact, right around the corner, boy, I hope we don't have to make any more predictions here. The Nets are not going to allow Kyrie Irving to be a part-time player for that team. Initially it was, can't play any games here in New York. But I think they sort of looked around, did the math on this thing, and said, yep, not a possibility to keep this guy as part of the team if he's not going to get vaccinated. Another Kyrie Irving moment that is coming back here. We've got more to talk about. We'll stay right here with that. Plus our MVPs around the corner. Stay right here. It's KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. It's a Tuesday evening, and we're watching a little bit of – we got some hockey up on the screen. ESPN's got hockey back on their networks for the first time in like 17 years. Nice. And
have you ever played hockey?
I was part of that ill-fated.
It's like a yes or no question.
I know,
just...
but I was part. But here's, I've never played ice hockey.
Okay,
I've played roller hockey. There was a very there was a big push. So when I was a kid, I was living in Dallas. The Stars moved from
Minnesota.
They were the North Stars in Minnesota, and they came down to Dallas, and that was a huge push. Everybody suddenly got into hockey, and roller hockey, street hockey became like a thing. And I bought a pair of rollerblades and was the fat kid who sat in the goal. So
yeah,
there's that.
It's funny that you say that because when I played hockey,
the answer is yes, Scott.
Yeah, I played goalie.
Because they're like, you got broad shoulders. Let's get him in there.
Well, and they said, and to be the goalie, you don't even have to be on ice skates.
Yeah, no,
you just wear like boots. So I wore boots.
You can just wear boots.
Yeah, I just wore the.
You gotta have skates on. You can't be out there with no skates on.
Look, they just wanted someone.
There's
got to
be a rule somewhere.
There's no rule.
Guarantee there's a rule. Must be wearing. You think there are any NHL hockey players, hockey goalies wearing boots right now?
Well, I'm sure people who are hockey purists were like, "How dare you!" But
I didn't get boots on the ice.
It was fun. I had a good time.
Well, we're watching some hockey tonight. We got a lot going on, and so does Kyrie Irving, everybody's favorite.
Oh boy!
Everybody's favorite eccentricist in the NBA, and. He's just one of those guys that has a lot of wild ideas about, you know, I think we've made a lot, much ado about nothing on his flat earth theory because I don't think he really believes that. This guy went to Duke, so I don't think he believes in a flat earth. Now, hollow earth, that's another story.
Different story.
But the Nets have decided they're not going to allow Kyrie Irving to be a part-time player. He was initially going to be looked at as a guy that would be helping out while his vaccination status is he's not getting it. The state of New York requires him to be able – or for him to be able to play and get paid in New York, it was he had to get vaccinated. But road games, they thought, well, let's work him into the road game system. And then finally the GM of the team looked at it and said, hey, I don't think we can do this. Sean Marks came out – this is the general manager, and he said, well, we've decided Kyrie Irving will not play or practice with the team until he is eligible to be a full participant. And I don't think this is a punishment as much as it is like, look, we couldn't coordinate how to make it work, you playing half the time for us. Because as it was, you couldn't even practice in the state of New York with the team with his vaccination status, what it is, which is he doesn't feel like getting it. They're not hearing a lot from Kyrie. He's just going along and doing his thing, saying, I'm not going to get vaccinated. So I look at this and I go, this guy's standing up for something, whatever it is, fine. In my mind, I go, if he's willing to give up the millions and millions and millions of dollars, which he would be giving up to make this point, I can't fault him for it. You know what I mean? Like I have a little bit of a, hey, man, you're a bad teammate right now. But, I mean, other than that, if he's going to take the financial hit, I can't say anything except for, well, I guess he feels strongly enough that he's not going to play the – you know, he's not going to work, and he's not going to play the game that he loves so much because he feels so passionately about not getting
here. Here's the challenge with all this, okay? This is a challenge. When you have the – and you don't have to agree or disagree with any of this, but this is just what's happening. The president of the United States is saying, look, we're going to require people, if they're going to work, they're going to do all these things, they're going to have to get vaccinated. I mean, we're seeing that in our own building here, right? And so if you want to function in certain instances as an employee, you need to kind of follow what the procedures are. Now, if it's a personal issue, if it's your, you know, whatever, you know, I don't know how many religious reasons why someone couldn't get vaccinated. I don't know, but you know, possibly that could be something. But if you really want to play, you really want to participate, you really want to, you know, function in your job, then there are just certain things that, you know, you're going to be asked to do. Now, I made a choice to do this for myself. You know, I felt like I got good information. I've had great, you know, I didn't have a bad experience with getting vaccinated. I didn't have any of that, right? I know of very few people who have actually had issues. I've known a lot of people who have not gotten vaccinated and have had serious issues.
Right.
I know people personally who have died from this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to make this a crazy thing. But aside from that, when you're in a sport where you're a part of a team, like you have a responsibility. When someone does something that you know takes them away from the team, and it's a personal choice. Whether it's making a decision to to get injured when they didn't need to be injured, kind of thing. Or,
what do you think that's what I wanted to ask you.
I'd be furious about this
at a locker room level.
Yes,
like you've done the NFL locker room for a dozen years. The NBA locker room is even more intimate of a setting because it's so few guys. And I would assume because he's one of these marquee players on a marquee team in a marquee city that it would just get more awkward from a team standpoint. Do you think that this locker room, maybe they have no choice but to just move forward and treat it like an injury, I guess, and just go, yeah, he's out. But the reality is that it's different because it's not a regular injury. It is a
– you're out and you don't need –
some of these guys, he could
you don't
be
need
here
to be
with
out.
Us. He could be here with us.
Yes.
So that's different.
Right. It's massively different. And what I think you fail to realize when you're young is you think that, oh, I'll have forever. And this is the part that's really hard. Is that you have a window. You only have so many opportunities. And if you don't take advantage of that time you have, I mean, Kyrie Irving is on almost a dream team with, everyone thinks that the Nets are the team to beat and that, you have Kevin Durant and James Harden and Blake Griffin. And so you've got this great team. Now, whether they're a great team or not, I don't know, but they got a lot of really good players. And you are just personally saying, you know what? Oh, well, it's just kind of a tough break here. It's like you have this one time in your life to be this athlete and to be on the stage and to do this. And it's so hard to win and it's so hard to get and be a part of a great team. And you squander this away.
You can't help but feel for the GM, too. He said, look, Kyrie's made a personal choice. We respect his individual right to choose. Currently, though, here comes the but. Currently, though, the choice restricts his ability to be a full-time member of our team, and we won't permit any member of our team to be participating at a part-time level. And it says, and if he were vaccinated, we would not be having this discussion. It's fine. We respect his individual right to choose, but we can't say that it doesn't affect us.
You know,
if he was vaccinated, we would not be having this discussion.
There are some guys that are like, man, I don't want to do the preseason stuff. Like the season's long enough as it is. I play basketball.
He's just going to play this out.
And just maybe he's one of these guys because he feels a little bit like one of these guys that just like I think he enjoys being a little bit to the beat of his own drum.
Yeah, and his identity is that a little bit.
Yeah,
but first his identity is all-star point guard in the NBA.
Yeah, but
that's the only reason he gets the looks that he does.
Sometimes people just I just want to be different. Oh well, I don't care.
Let's take our break here. When we come back, guess what? We have our MVPs right around the corner. Scott, do you have one yet? Or we do need
to...
Okay. Yeah. All right. Scott's got his MVP. I've got one ready. Mine is equipped with some sound,
might be
too.
The MVP of my MVPs.
Let's come back. More to go. It's KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. MVPs are next.
The Unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crown tonight's most valuable player. The Unrivaled MVP.
Alrighty, welcome on back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Geary. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are. Whatever you're doing, we greatly appreciate it. We love what we do. And this time of year, Alex, I actually really like this time of year. And I'll give you a reason why. I mean, you've got baseball, you've got hockey, you've got basketball starting.
Yeah.
You're right in the throes of both college and NFL football. I mean, you got a lot going on here. And what makes it even better is I think there's a lot of optimism about the Utah Jazz. I really do.
Well, I think last night helped, right? Where you see them win by 31, and I know it's a preseason game, but it kind of felt like home, right? You see all the fans pouring into Vivint last night, and you go, okay, now. And you see Bogey throwing up some three pointers. Some of them go in, some don't, and it's just exhilarating because you look and you go, Royce looks good. Mike Conley's wearing number 11 now. Fine. Just please don't get hurt. I think that – and Donovan Mitchell, to be able to have a guy that everyone across the league recognizes as amazing, we got one. You know what I mean? Like, you think about Karl Malone and John Stockton, It's different because it was a lot longer ago, but it was Donovan Mitchell has the it factor across the entire game. He people love him. I think people in other cities, they don't look at Donovan Mitchell and go, "Man, I hate that guy." They have to respect the fact that he's dominant, but he's like the nicest guy.
But I think you failed to say someone.
Rudy Gobert,
the big fella.
Oh yeah,
the big fella inside.
Why don't you?
Who I think Rudy, he just. Rudy has reached, I want to say, another plateau of maturity. I really think, and I believe it's those experiences when you go into the Olympics and you kind of get away and you get a different perspective and you get a chance to play basketball and compete in a different different way, but still in a very competitive way. You started to see, and not that you hadn't before, but you could Rudy. I think there's a fire inside of him, and I love one of the great things I love about Rudy is his willingness to talk about, hey, we're here to win a championship. You know, he doesn't shy away from it, and just when he was even with France, it's like, I don't care if the U.S. supposedly has his dream team or better team, I'm upset we didn't win a championship, and I want to win a championship. So I think Rudy Gobert, is on par with Donovan Mitchell as one of those star players for the Jazz.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to seeing what this is going to look like. Can I tell you how much these guys are getting paid, by the way, this season?
Who?
The Utah Jazz? Yes.
I guess.
You want to hear some salaries?
It seems kind of personal. should we be talking about this kind of thing?
Donovan Mitchell's like, Rudy, how much are you making this year? Because I need to know when I go in and talk to management. Are you ready for this? Rudy Gobert is the highest-paid player of the Utah Jazz, $34.8 million.
Wow.
Not bad. Donovan Mitchell, $28.1 million. Okay. Mike Conley, $21 million. Boyan, $18.7 million.
Wow.
Joe Ingles still at that $13-plus million, final year of his contract at that level. Jordan Clarkson at $12.5 million. Royce O'Neal is going to be earning $8.8 million and then $9 and then $10 in the years in the subsequent years.
Wow.
Rudy Gay is a $6 million a year guy. Hassan Whiteside's getting 2.4. Mia Ione gets 1.7 million. Azubuike gets $2 million. Boy, everybody, you get a million, you get 2 million. Jared Butler gets almost $1 million this year already. Boy, these rookies, man.
Well, and if you're an NBA player and you play 15, 20 years,
Oh, you'll rack up. Yes, you'll be earning $100+ million for sure.
Do a nice job.
So those are the numbers right there.
Ah, good for them.
In 2025, Rudy Gobert is slated to earn $51 million. Oh. Scott, hopefully we can pay him that much. All right, MVPs. You want me to go first? You want to go first? What are you going to do here?
I'll go first.
Okay, Scott, roll out your MVPs here for me.
My MVP is Major League Baseball.
Okay.
Could
you hear my eyes rolling as you said it?
No, here's
I love baseball, but I don't
know. Here's what it is. Hear me out.
Okay.
There's something about the playoffs in baseball in October. It just the baseball season's long, but man, when it gets to October, it just gets really exciting. And for me, two of my favorite teams growing up are in the playoffs. The Dodgers, who are ahead 2-0 against the Giants. In their game, they're down 2-1 in the series.
Yes,
the Braves, who just closed out the Brewers, I think.
Oh, so they are going to the NLCS. Then.
Yes,
okay.
And so, I love Major League Baseball in the fall, and I love what it represents because here for me as this young kid, baseball was kind of everything, I loved watching the playoffs. I loved Mr. October, Reggie Jackson. I loved the Dodgers and the Yankees playing each other in the World Series, and George Brett and the Kansas City Royals winning a World Series.
Dane Orange,
who was a Utah guy, hits a clutch hit that helps them in their quest to win the World Series.
I will say that I was absolutely like we were enamored with that series when the Red Sox. We're coming back against the Yankees in 2004, I think. I was in college, and we were watching baseball for hours and hours and hours on end at each other's houses. Teams that aren't our teams, we could not watch baseball. We had to watch it because those were such massive games.
Now, here's the other thing.
Yes.
the whole cheating scandal and the Astros, it just feels like baseball's kind of moved on from it. And they've had these just body blows, these like almost like knockout punches through
the years.
Well,
this year, think about it.
It was scandals and all these things. This year it was all about the sticky stuff.
You know, like searching the pitchers. Right. They're all because it was like the worst that anybody had hit ever against pitchers in the history of baseball.
Right.
And pitchers have had the advantage for a while, but it got even more pronounced this year. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Houston's been cheating for
going on a decade now.
Now going on a decade. They're still cheating. Look at them getting to the ALCS.
But the Major League Baseball just still finds a way to be relevant. It was the national pastime, and it kind of got passed up.
Having a Dodgers Giants series in the playoffs, it's cruddy because they're the two best teams in the National League, but they have to play each other in that first round because they're in each other's division. They both won over 100 games. It's just that San Francisco won more games than the Dodgers did, so they're playing each other in this round. But those are two teams who hate each other. You know, you want to see fewer of the fans being punched out in the parking lot, you know, type incidents. But you love to see that, like, real hate between the Giants and the Dodgers. I love to see that. I love to see that these guys are like, I wish nothing good to come upon these Dodgers. And the Dodgers fans going, we don't even know who you are. I know you've won World Series before. It doesn't matter. We're still the most important team in California.
See, Major League Baseball is my MVP.
There you go. Scott, my MVP is, and we haven't mentioned it enough. We mentioned it once when it first happened, but Holly Rowe is back in Utah. And Holly Rowe, coming back to her roots here in the great city of Utah, reporting for the Utah Jazz on television. Her, Bowler Jack, and Big T Thurl Bailey were on the call last night, and she's roaming the sidelines. It just adds an amazing element of, like, if she suddenly has made this Jazz broadcast just top shelf now. And this is Holly Rowe after the game last night interviewing Rudy Gobert after the 30-point win at Vivint Smart Home Arena.
It's amazing, you know, and we all try to push each other to be the best team that we can be. And we know that if we keep doing that, you know, we're going to be going to be hard to play against.
Beautiful. Tu es très magnifique ce soir.
Merci beaucoup.
Je suis très fier de toi.
Merci.
Merci.
Oh, boy. There you go.
Wow.
I hear you, Holly. Speak that French.
See, there you go. Holly Rowe busts out French at the end of the interview with Rudy. He got a little smile on his face, and he was like, merci, merci. Holly Rowe throwing down in French in the broadcast, the first preseason home game, and she busts out the French. I'm super excited. Holly Rowe being on that broadcast team makes it even more special for the Jazz this year.
Well, and on top of that, she's a Ute. So.
Hey, went to BYU for a while, too.
Yeah, but
she's a Cougar and a Ute. Can we just say all?
No.
Look, she's from Davis County. You can just say that, okay?
Well, that's closer to Utah than it is BYU.
All right, so we'll take the break here when we come back. Got a couple things going on. Jeremiah Jensen's going to join us in studio. We're also going to jump in a little bit to this discussion about John Gruden. Now that it's been finalized, you'll hear some words from Keyshawn Johnson, who played for him down in Tampa when they won the Super Bowl, what he had to say about him, and it's not that great. Stay right here with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL FM Midvale. KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. Hour number two, Jeremiah Jensen's going to come to the studio in a few minutes. In the meantime, though, we're going to jump in with our 8:05 cut. We've got some stuff to talk about still. The resignation of John Gruden has absolutely rocked the NFL. That's where we're going to start things now that we're 24 hours in, where things go from here, and now what people are saying 24 hours in. A lot of people over the last 24 hours, Scott, saying, oh, yeah, I could have told you. And here we are. It's the 8:05 cut. Let's do it.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, encore. Here's what made the cut.
Cut brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. Scott, we were on the air at this time last night. We were about 30 minutes into having heard the resignation, or at least seen the news of the resignation of John Gruden, there was a statement from Gruden, basically said, I didn't mean to hurt anybody, and I love the players, and I love the organization, I love my coaches, and we'll see you later. I mean, it was a pretty abrupt ending, obviously, to the whole sordid affair of the emails that had come out, and I think that a lot of people saw that was the only way it was going to end. And today, you saw a couple of key things that happened. One, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who he won a Super Bowl for back in the early 2000s, removed him from their Ring of Honor. That reputation that he had as a kind of whiz young coach from back then and won an early Super Bowl, then became an ESPN football analyst. People loved his takes, just like they did with kind of Tony Romo. They liked what he did. They liked who he was on Hard Knocks. And then the emails come out, and we see a very different person. Sorry, I'm coughing here.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I'm actually having a hard time with this. I really am, and I'm having a hard time with it. And I'm not excusing anything he said. But I guess my question is...
It was bad stuff. It was bad.
I know it's bad stuff, right? But I know it's bad stuff. Okay, I get that, but in his career, you know, has he really damaged all these people? I mean, I don't know. I just think to totally erase John Gruden from the face of the earth, like he's just gone. He, you know, his legacy, everything is gone. It's out. It's all of these things. It just seems a little bit harsh to me, and I don't know what to think about any of this anymore. About people are just, if they say certain things, they're just totally banned, abolished, erased, end of discussion. I just don't understand it, Alex. I really don't. I don't even know that. I'm sitting here on the radio, and I want to. There's a lot of things I want to say, but I just feel like I can't say. And I'm not supporting anything he said. I don't agree with any of it. I know how I feel about people, and I know what I say about people, and I don't talk about people in that sense. But I just think that. It's a harsh, harsh, harsh penalty.
Is it partially because you know that there are a bunch of people who are exactly like there are many John Grudens out there, and John Gruden is being blasted here. He's the one that's being put out there and put out to pasture. But there are a lot of guys who this is going to end up getting as well.
I know there are a lot of yes, and it's not just coaches. It's not front office people, it's players, and they're not. I mean, I had players that were black who were racist, and they said racist things, and I mean, it wasn't any, you know. So it feels like one race is being attacked here, and again, I'm not trying to apologize or excuse John Gruden. I'm just not. But it just seems there's a whole lot of – it just feels like if we really were honest with ourselves, we'd probably have to cancel about everybody.
Keyshawn Johnson played for John Gruden his first year in Tampa. They won that Super Bowl. Here's what he had to say. Keyshawn, of course, had a long career as a wide receiver, played for a bunch of different teams, has always been outspoken, has always been a character, is a black man who played for this guy who is being – whose emails were trotted out, and he was absolutely, you know, lit up for the stuff that he had sent out. Here's what Keyshawn Johnson had to say about the time that he played for John Gruden down there in Tampa.
I didn't know that John would say things like that and put them in an email. He just always been a fraud to me. Never from day one, he's been a used car salesman. And people bought it because he inherited a team built by Tony Dungy and Rich McKay. And he came in there with a little bit of different energy that we had with Tony. And it kind of kicked us over the top to get our world championship, which I am grateful for. But at the same time, I also saw through who he was through that journey of getting a championship. And we're standing on the podium in the Super Bowl, and the general manager is trying to raise the trophy, and the head coach takes the trophy from him, basically says, give me this, this belongs to me. And like all of that, when you're paying attention, and then the next year, the general manager leaves in the middle of the season because he doesn't want to deal with all the shenanigans.
There's Keyshawn's time that he spent with him. I don't know if that story is necessarily like indicative of. I don't know if it.
I'd call it more ego than anything.
I mean, which is like. I mean,
I'd never say, you know, John Gruden's ever had it. Not had an ego.
He's probably the big one of the biggest egos.
And
right?
So does Keyshawn Johnson have an ego? I mean, it's again, it's really easy at this point when. Basically, there's no defense for John. Everyone can take all kinds of shots at John Gruden they want right now because there's nothing. There's no defense for him.
Is there any way for him?
I have a hard time finding that Keyshawn Johnson was really upset at winning a Super Bowl. I don't buy that. I just don't.
Do you think that because everyone say Stephen A. Smith said, "Hey, his career is done." Is this not just coaching, but is there any place for him in the game? At any in the NFL in any way? Is there any way that he gets back into the game or back in, not necessarily the good graces, because I don't think he'll ever be that guy who people, you know, are going to ever, you know, sort of forget.
I think it's hard for him because you're going to question everything he says now, you know, every whatever he speaks, you're just going to go, you know what, you know what,
they're going to be players that won't even listen to one word that he says.
No, they won't. And not at all. And so I think it would be extremely hard for him in that situation. But there's always this story of redemption, and redemption just happens with time. I mean, John Gruden got out of football and he was broadcasting, he was in the booth for a long time. And, you know, maybe he's a guy that just in all reality doesn't really want to, you know, be there that long anyways.
Let's take the break. We'll come back. We've got more to go. Jeremiah Jensen from KSL5 Television is going to join us. We're going to ask him some of the questions that we've tackled already tonight a little bit. Get his thoughts also on, well, who takes that job then if John Gruden's now gone out of Las Vegas? I mean, he is. So who gets that job next? We've got more stuff to talk about. So stay right here with us. It's KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery joining us this segment, as he does often, is Jeremiah Jensen from KSL TV. Something kind of just triggered in my head earlier, looking through a lot of this NFL stuff. And I remember when I was playing in the NFL and how the speed of it felt normal. Like, and I think I was watching it and I was like, gosh, that seems so fast, right? But I remember being a part of it and just going, hey, it's just like normal. You go to practice playing games, it's just like it's just the way it was. And everything else seemed like it was in slow motion. You know, going back and watching a college game is like, oh my goodness, these guys are, you know, or high school was just like these kids are walking, you know, and then as I've gotten away from it, it's just like, in, you know, and I do the Utah football games, it seems I'm kind of at that speed, you know, and I don't know, it's just a weird thing that happened to me today.
Well, it happens with age, Scott. Man, I want to tell you that was going to be one of the things that happened with age.
Is it just age or is
Oh yeah.
Or do you think the players are faster and better today than?
For sure,
because you remember like looking back
have
at
to
the,
be.
This is you got to
be looking at the older films.
I cover high school sports and I watch kids doing things in high school, whether it's football, basketball, or all the other sports. I'm thinking, we didn't do that in high school.
No, and
I couldn't do that.
Utah high school football is the best it's ever been. Do you think it's because suddenly there was an infusion of suddenly we got talent coming to the state? It's just that now the stuff that guys have access to, and I think it does have to do also with the fact that you've got open enrollment here, and so that kind of opens up the doors a little bit more.
I would say two things, and you could correct me. You coached high school football. You'd have even a better perspective. I see better coaching. The coaching here is terrific.
It really is. Yeah.
And training. Like, yeah. we understand better now. Like, it's not just one of those things. When I was in high school, it was like, okay, in the summertime, all right, show up at 7 o'clock on Tuesday and Thursday and come lift weights.
I got to start lifting weights this time of year, right now.
It was like, that was it. That's all. I didn't go to camps. I didn't have opportunities outside of summer weightlifting to go do anything to get better at the game, to understand the game better. And I think kids understand the game more. It's not just go out there and do this. Like, they understand how to read defenses. They understand scheme. Oh. When I was in high school, I had one thing I had to do, and I did it, right?
Right.
But to go to the next level, you needed more. And I think more kids here get that.
I think you get a lot of these players that come back, and, you know, you hear John Beck's name, and these guys go, they'll go see him. Or I know there's a lot of other players. The guys I played with at Utah, Carl Harry is a really good coach, trains guys. There's John
it's
Matz.
Like they're calling when you hear the John
Jamal Willis, former BYU player, does it. Ross Oppo.
My son worked with
Jordan Pendleton. I mean, the list goes on and on. But when you Dustin Smith's great with quarterbacks.
When you see these guys do this, when John Beck does it, it's funny because they talk about him like they're calling their therapist. I got to get my job back. I got to. Well, what are you going to do then? Zach Wilson was asked about it. What are you going to do during these extra couple of days? I got to go out and talk to John Beck.
He's going to visit his family. He's going to visit John Beck.
Yeah, he's going to.
What does that tell you?
I know.
That's cool.
He's going to go. I got to call John Beck, man. I'm not feeling right. Call John Beck, dude. What does John Beck say about it? I know I've got an hour with him today, so we'll see.
I feel like
maybe.
I need to call John Beck. I don't know.
Yeah. I'll just call John Beck. We're having a bad day. I don't know, man.
Whatever he does works, so I'm in.
So Jazz went by 30-something in their preseason game. I think the more important thing was last night, Rudy Gobert had a double-double before he even blinked. I mean, it was halftime, and he had a double-double already. I don't know who's poised to have – an even more kind of turn-the-corner type year, Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert, because they both seem like they're going, okay, I'm going up to another level here, and that just makes for another amazing year for Jazz fans, I think.
We touched on it a little bit last night, but Rudy Gobert passing in the paint, doing some things that maybe he wasn't doing before on the offensive end. And then I look at Donovan and some of the moves he did last night. Like, he was already elite when it comes to creating space and getting a shot and creating offense, but he was unguardable last night. I mean, there's guys
did what he wanted.
I mean, someone like Draymond might have trouble with him the way he was playing last night, and he's just in preseason. I think Donovan's going to take his game to another level.
Jordan Clarkson was doing it.
Jordan was incredible. I don't want to hype these guys up too much. They have so much to prove this year. They got to do it in the playoffs. I get it, but my goodness, they're good. They look really good, and I think they're going to be a juggernaut in the league again this year.
I just wonder how. You know, because everyone talks about the closeness of the team. I wonder how much more that means where they didn't lose any of the pieces. You know, there's not a lot that they really need to bring. And so, you know, I think it's either the smartest thing in the world or, you know, I think it's a gamble, you know, because it's like, did we get better by just staying the same and have people passed us up, or did we jump past people because we're so much further ahead because we have this chemistry, we have this continuity, and guys are allowed to kind of, because you're saying things about players you're seeing that they've improved on, and a lot of times when you have time to stay somewhere and you're not trying to learn something new all over again, you can actually kind of develop your game better.
Continuity matters, consistency matters, and that's what this franchise has right now. You got 7 guys in the rotation last year that are back. And they don't have to go through this learning process. Like, I'm hearing about the Brooklyn Nets right now, for example. And they went to San Diego to try to figure each other out. And he was there and worked out with them. But now we don't know what Kyrie's going to do. And they got James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving, 3 of the 10 best players in the world.
Well, Kyrie's on hold in this particular
right,
moment.
Well, that's my point. Is like, they're a mess.
Right.
And the Jazz have no drama. They're just ready to go hoop. And I think they're going to have a jump on a lot of other teams, and I think they're going to have an even better start than they did last year. And last year was one of the best starts in franchise history.
You look at this Jazz team, and you look at kind of what they have to do the rest of the year. I think it's pretty exciting to think about what, I mean, again, a healthy team looks like. I don't get why the Lakers are still looked at like a favorite. Not just a favorite, but the favorite in the West. Is it just because of the names on the list? Even though everybody knows, like, I mean, I guess you can't bet against LeBron yet totally, although I think a lot of people have already sort of said, yeah, I think that you're past that prime, certainly.
Number one, it's respect for LeBron James, and he's earned that, and he deserves that. But here's the truth. He's how old now? 37?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. At some point, the wheels come off. I mean, look at Kobe. He was one of the greatest, and the wheels started to come off at that age. Another thing is everybody's looking at their roster, and they're like, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis. They're stars. But most of those guys were stars 5 years ago as far as being elite players. Carmelo Anthony is no longer an elite player. Russell Westbrook is still good.
He's been an elite player in all the cities he's been in, and their teams have not gotten
anywhere.
That's
a great point. And Russell Westbrook hasn't won a title either. Same thing. So on paper, the names stand out at you, and you're like, wow, they got those guys? But then look at the rest of their roster after those four I read. It's not great. And those guys are all in their – Anthony Davis aside – the other guys are in their 30s, upper 30s for LeBron and Carmelo. So that team, I think they're way overrated. I agree with you. But they got LeBron, so who knows?
We were going through a little bit of the halfway mark in the season, although the Utes have only had 5 games so far this year. 6 games in for most of the country, and so we're kind of going through our halfway mark awards. Devin Lloyd is, I think, who Scott said is his team MVP. Pretty easy to
no question.
Pretty easy to
yeah,
say
that's
easy.
Slam dunk.
Tyler Allgeier for BYU.
Yes.
Tompkins is
yes.
For Utah State.
Agree on all
on
three.
Any of these?
Nope.
I mean, when you think about it, too, you think about where Utah is now versus where our brains were on Utah 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. I mean, it's just it felt like 6 months ago that Charlie Brewer left the program. I mean, that's how long ago it feels because they've already separated themselves from that time period.
Well, I mean, Washington State was just 2.5 weeks ago, and after that game, I was like, yeah, this team's got issues.
Yes.
They should have won that game by 30 points, and they struggled. They almost lost that game. And then I watched the USC game, and that's who we saw. Yeah. That was the team we saw
that we thought
we were going to see all year.
Yes.
And that's why they were top preseason top 25. That's why I thought they were Pac-12 contenders was because of the team we saw last week.
Yeah, it's just interesting. You know, this happened a few years ago where they kind of had that struggle, and all of a sudden they just had that breakout game. It was against
at the right time, right?
You know who's going to be the Raiders' new coach?
Who is it?
David Shaw.
Hey, that's not a bad
thing. That would be a home run hire because that's the complete total opposite of what they've had there.
And that's exactly why.
Would he want to coach there?
I would. He's got NFL roots.
Raider Nation accept a guy like David Shaw, who is like
absolutely?
They better.
He's too chilled out or something. That's a great
Scott.
Pick,
that would be the perfect response. He's the anti Gruden. Yep. I agree with
be
you.
An amazing pick. What's going on television tonight? Lots of baseball. Lots of series have already been wrapped up, and we're looking at more. Right.
So we'll hear from the Utes and Cougars. Utes have that big game against Arizona State. BYU's got Baylor. The NHL's releasing the Kraken tonight, so I'm going to show that to you. Golden Knights and Kraken hockey, and of course baseball playoffs. We had some drama.
It's amazing, JJ. Thanks for hanging out.
You got
man.
It.
We'll talk to you again next week or at the end of this week. So we'll come back. News, traffic, and weather right now. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
Hey, 30 at KSL News Radio. I'm Jason Tulin.
Old NFL Roundup. Premium grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and
the other guy.
It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Yeah, the NFL Roundup. NFL stories, Scott, in case you missed that whole intro.
It went right over my head. I didn't even realize.
I'm going to lean on you quite heavily here, former NFL quarterback and the other guy. Here's what I was wanting to bring up, though. Stay nimble here with me, buddy. Because you brought up a story earlier, and it was about Zach Wilson.
Yes.
There's two things. There's two Zach Wilson things I want to bring up. One, it was Zach Wilson wants to start slinging him. I just got to start letting her rip. Got to have a let her rip attitude. You can have that on the football field. Don't bring that home with you.
Well, if you're married.
If you're married, you don't want to bring
single, you can let her rip.
Now, listen, what I want to say is that in this case, and you were kind of reading it to me, you didn't tell me what you thought about that. You were just like, oh, Zach Wilson says he's got to have a little bit more of a let her rip attitude. But I didn't get like your vibe on it. So I'm going to make you answer to what do you think about him saying that he's got to have more of a let her rip attitude. The shorter passes he's been struggling more on. He's had kind of a little bit more of that, like, the razzle-dazzle a little bit on those deeper throws.
Yeah.
That's where he's had more success.
Because you just throw it up.
Well, so
it that's just one goes. Of those.
When he says something like that,
Is that really a thing? Like, I'm going to have a letter rip attitude.
I'm
going
to go back to something I've said a million times, and it was said to me, and it's the most simple statement in the world, but it's so true. It is so true.
What is it?
Like, the whole drop back as fast as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about that that just disengages your mind or engages it or just keeps it in the moment, whatever.
Did you practice that too?
Yes.
Like, I'm going to have the fastest feet.
All I'm going to do is just drop back as fast as I can. And that's all you thought about. And then everything else just kind of happened. Like, you can't think your way on a football field. It's impossible. Like, everything is just instinctive. It's just happening so fast that it's just an intuitive thing. And so if you're unsure of yourself and you're hesitant and you're thinking your way through your thought process, you're dead.
So let a rip goes along with that then.
Yeah,
it's
kind of the next evolution of everything. What makes me really nervous about Zach Wilson is
just letting it rip.
Well, no, that I'd rather do it that.
Right.
Dan Marino, he just said, pick a guy and let it fly. Like, that was it.
Gosh,
you know?
I'm writing all this down. Hold on.
But the thing about about Zach Wilson is he goes, I'm going to go study some more. I want to know everything.
I'm going to take these, right, these
all
days
these questions.
Off
like, no. Like, football's for dummies, okay? You're not smart and you're a football player.
Okay.
There's a level of intelligence, but when you play, you have to kind of have to be dumb.
Yeah, well, and you just have to, but like you said,
don't think. It's
stuff that makes you look smart because you're like making these decisions quickly and all these things, and when you start to have all this experience, then suddenly the game slows down, et cetera, and then
I think,
look smarter.
I think the whole I'm going to go study more is a little bit of insecurity. I think it's like, I really don't know what I'm doing here, so I'm going to just make sure I just know everything.
And leads the league with 9 picks.
Yes.
And he's got 12 games left.
He's leading in something. That's not the worst thing in the world.
I think advanced metrics put him at second to last on qualified quarterbacks in terms of production.
Hey, if you're not first, you're last, though, so it doesn't
matter. So it doesn't matter. He's
in a group of like 31 other guys.
Everybody behind. Yeah. Well, who's number one on the list?
I don't know. Probably
Josh Allen.
I'll tell you what, Josh Allen, if you want to talk about a guy that jumped forward, and I don't know what it was, but I'm telling you, this guy just continues to get better and better and better. And he was making throws in that game against the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're like, ooh, that's pretty special right there.
He hurdles, right? And
he's also
massive. The other thing is that when quarterbacks—
And he lets a rip.
When quarterbacks get run, like when you see a—
He's a perfect example, though.
He
made mistakes, but he just made him go on full speed. And eventually you'll figure out those mistakes, but you can't make mistakes going half speed. Like that's two negatives right there.
Why did Justin Herbert, why was he able to adjust so well? Year one last year, he had a great rookie season. And then this year, it's like somehow he got even better already. This is like the guy has faced zero adversity.
Justin Herbert, number one, played a lot of football at Oregon. You know what? I mean, there's something to be said not only about his
stay in that senior year,
but don't you remember talking to him? Didn't you just go, man, this guy is so impressive? I mean, he was just super impressive.
He was too boring. He was kind of boring for us.
But he was mature. And I'm not saying Zach Wilson isn't mature.
Right.
I'm just saying he was really ready from a maturity standpoint, from a physical standpoint, from an emotional standpoint.
Right.
You know, playing in a Pac-12 championship game your senior year and then going and playing in the Rose Bowl, those are big-time games and big-time opportunities that, you know, when you're Zach Wilson and you're playing your second year, really, of actually playing – and you're not playing in big games. You know, Zach Wilson never was in a big game. In college. It helps you. I'm not saying he can't overcome that. I'm just saying it makes you better.
Are you trying to say something about the Idaho Potato Bowl?
No, I'm just.
Come on.
Well, yeah, it's not
it's
the Rose Bowl.
Big stage, bro.
It's not the Rose Bowl.
Fundamentally different plants.
Yeah, one is an above ground plant.
Oh, that's a root vegetable.
A lot of manure goes into roses. Now I don't know how much manure goes into potatoes. But you know, did you put manure on the potatoes?
Please don't.
I mean, not like a condiment.
No,
you know, something
like Big Potato Night turns weird suddenly, right?
It's organic manure, so it's better for you.
Tom Brady downplayed the severity of his right thumb injury this week, telling reporters, it's not really going to affect me. I'm going to be playing on the road against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Some things are really silly. Like, no, this really hurts, and I'm probably going to play poorly. Yeah. And, you know, I
can't play this week.
Please don't let anyone know how bad my thumb hurts so they can, like, actually hit my thumb. Like, why do people ask the question? I mean, I know why they ask the question. One is, do you know the number one reason why people want to know players are healthy?
So they can put them in the promo before.
No, it's about betting.
Oh, you know, for sure.
Gambling, absolutely. Gambling and TV run the NFL.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But that's why I said the promos, like, so you can put Tom Brady's picture up there. You don't want to have him in a thumb cast on the sideline. By the way, I mean, this last weekend, we didn't even talk that much about it because it was just like such a. I mean, it was the first time in his 22-year career. This guy has won everything.
Has he been playing that long?
22-year career.
22 years?
Right. And
that sounds like a Major League Baseball career.
I know. It's like a hockey player. Yeah. He's like, hey, 61. First time in his entire career this last weekend that he threw for 400-plus yards and 5 touchdowns in a game.
Wow.
That's actually crazy to me because I would have thought – now, he's not the guy that has had a congealing.
Belichick held him back. Let's just face it. He'd have been a much better player.
He'd have had games with 500 yards and 6 touchdowns. Yeah. I just think it's funny that you could say after that long career of winning all those games, leading the league in now yardage, touchdowns, all those things, to say it's the first time he's had a 400 plus yard game with 500 touchdowns in one game.
I mean, if you play 22 years as a quarterback in the NFL,
you're going to have.
I would hope that you have more yards and more touchdowns and more everything than anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You have to. The thing, though, that's
not
really
impressive. What do you want to say is not impressive?
Well, yeah, it's like, duh.
He's going to end his career with 100,000 yards, Scott. He's going to end his career with 100,000 yards.
That's a good thing because the warranty expires at 100,000.
his powertrain's breaking down.
He might be able to buy an extended warranty. Yeah. I don't know.
Tom Brady, we're trying to get a hold of you about your extended warranty on your career, man. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. We've got our 2-minute drill around the corner. Some other stuff I wanted to bring up a couple times tonight. Finally, I'll have the opportunity to do it. It's not about letting her rip, okay? We'll come back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled and KSL News Radio. Bold predictions right around the corner.
Hey, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery, and, of course, the legendary Fletch Music, which I think we kind of... I don't know. We like that music. We like the show. We reference it from time to time. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. If you missed part of our show, download the KSL Sports app.
Can I borrow your towel, Scott? I just hit a water buffalo on the way in. I forgot about that one.
Put it on the underhills.
The underhills, Bill.
Underhills, Bill. Bill.
Mr. Underhill was a jerk, though.
Yes.
He was a jerk.
He was a
jerk. That's why you put it on the underhill bill.
Of course you did.
But
wouldn't you be a jerk if someone was always putting their bill on your bill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, the country club.
A bank here?
Yeah, the country club lifestyle, man. You gotta have a certain attitude. Scott, it's that time of the night.
Can I just interrupt for 1 second?
Yes,
speaking
can.
Of the country club atmosphere,
Do
you know what the most disappointing thing to me about Utah's win at USC was?
What?
Not that I'm reveling in it here, but I am.
People left way too early?
So, no, they didn't show up to begin with. I wished more.
I thought it looked like on the TV shots they had.
No.
No.
Those were red seats.
Those are red seats.
You're seeing a lot of red seats. That's how they do it. And they learned from the whole COVID thing. You just put a little cutout there.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
all I'm saying
everybody
is,
has seen the writing on the wall with that USC team this year,
but,
right?
But it's so lame. It's like, it's put all your folks in the stands and take your whooping, like, you know.
Well, they said there was 13,000 people that watched Stanford beat Oregon a couple of weeks ago at Stanford. Like, the whole state of California has a problem getting people to watch their games. UCLA has one of the most... They have probably the most amazing venue in all of college football.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, at least in California.
It's the Rose Bowl.
It's the dang Rose Bowl.
And it is the Rose Bowl. Like, yeah.
It's not the dang Rose Bowl brought to you by dang.
Wow.
It's brought to you by, you might be a redneck if you sponsor the Rose Bowl. I just don't think that I don't think there's a lot of people that
a lot of manure goes into making
those roses. Is it like when they tell you, they go, you know, to get one almond, it's 48 gallons of water. It's like the manure stats on the roses. There's a metaphor in there for the Pac-12 and the Rose Bowl. Scott, I'm going to play some music. You're going to tell us exactly what we do this time of the night. What do we have here with this music playing behind us?
Well, late in the football game, you got to go down the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you hurry, which is why I'm talking fast. Our show's the same way. Still got a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time, so I talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish the show, go home happy with a trophy, because everyone goes home happy these days with a trophy, two COVID shots, and a plethora of desserts.
Have you, speaking of sweets, just as a, because you've done the kids and the trick-or-treating thing. I'm getting to the point now where I have a 12-and-a-half-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
Is this his last?
No.
No?
You want to know how you do it with the kids?
I don't want him to be that kid who goes to the door with nothing on, with no outfit on, and go at 11 p.m. and goes, trick-or-treat or whatever. You know, that's like the new
thing.
And
he has a pillowcase, right?
And he just goes, trick-or-treat or whatever.
Yeah, but at that point, you just know.
I know,
you
know, but
they're
I don't in, like those
you
kids.
Know they're in that transition.
I don't want my kid to be that unlikable kid.
You know why? Because once it's over, it's over for good.
Yeah. Okay? What do you cut it off at?
You don't. Don't cut it off.
Peach fuzz on the chin? What do you do?
They will cut it off.
Have you ever told some teenagers no at the door?
No.
Because you don't want the trick,
no.
Right?
No. Never thought of it that way, but it's just like,
okay.
You give out the candy until you don't have any left to give.
All right.
And then you just say, I'm really sorry we're out of candy.
That's a great metaphor for life. Yeah.
They will figure, I'm just telling you, because my kids went through the same thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you're way too, and they're just, and then all of a sudden, one year, it was just like, not,
my dad's like, so, I'm like walking out
like,
the door.
This is so dumb. Why are we doing this anymore? And you go.
So they self-select.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. I'm going to take that advice. Then.
Yeah. Watch. It'll happen.
Okay. 2 minute drill
here. If he's 20, you might have to have a conversation with him.
I'm all, listen, kid, your mom says that you're embarrassing the neighborhood here by going out with your younger siblings. Hey, so bowl projections. I wanted to get to this because it's funny. So here's how things have changed, okay? BYU is back in its rightful place as an Independence Bowl attendee, according to the projection.
Wow.
I don't know if that means they can't get there or just now. I mean, the schedule is so hard now to be able to, because if they do lose one more game, I think it's off the table, a New Year's Six game. So right now, the projection at CBS Sports is they're going to be playing Louisiana Tech in the Independence Bowl. Boy, how the mighty have fallen after one loss, right? Now, Utah State has showed up in the conversation. Utah State is pitted against Marshall in the in a group of five versus group of five battle in the Cure Bowl, okay, the Cure.com Bowl. Now, the Utes have moved up the ladder a little bit to the Holiday Bowl. This is a place where that's like a semi-respectable bowl.
I actually don't mind
there.
The Holiday Bowl.
No, I do too.
Don't do this.
And I think they probably play in L.A. now. They'll probably play at SoFi Stadium. I don't know where they're going to play it. There's nowhere to play in San Diego, so fine. I like it. And they haven't played in Virginia Tech. Now, I'm going to get to the college football semifinals and the final. Because this is the projection today. It is October 12th today.
Yeah, today. Yeah.
The projection today is that the college football semifinal, number one, is Alabama versus Ohio State. Stop me if you've heard this one before. And Oklahoma versus Georgia's the other game. And they have, stop me if you've heard this one before, Alabama and Georgia in the national championship game. Doesn't that make you want to die? After all the conversation we had this whole week about, isn't it amazing? Iowa's supposed to be up there. They have them in the Rose Bowl against Arizona State. They don't have Oregon. Where'd they put Oregon then? Where'd they jam Oregon in all this? Oh, man. I didn't even look. Oh, Oregon. They got Oregon playing the Alamo Bowl. Oof. That's about right. What would be a good bowl then now for the Utes? Is it Rose Bowl or bust?
The Rose Bowl would be incredible.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, you look at it and go, man, hey.
Okay, a few years ago, this very similar scenario happened. Utah lost its two regular season games.
I think they were 1-2.
Yeah, and all of a sudden they went to Stanford, and they just became this different team.
Yeah.
Like, it just clicked. And it felt like that's what happened.
Is that what has happened?
When they went to USC. Because there really is a lot of talent on this team.
Yes.
And I think they just start figuring out how to play, how to win, how to compete. So what will be interesting, this week's going to be... an amazing game. And there are only two teams in Pac-12 that are undefeated in conference play, Arizona State and Utah.
It's going to be awesome.
Which is insane at this point. So it'll just if they continue to get better as this season goes on, I mean Utah could be in the Pac-12 championship. If they win this game, it's massive as far as their they control so much of their destiny winning this game this week as far
here's
as winning
the,
this
here's the rest of your New York or your New York your near your New Year's Six game. I keep calling it New York just because it says NY.
Well, the pinstripe game is Pittsburgh
not,
and Minnesota.
Definitely not one of those. The Peach Bowl. They have Penn State and Notre Dame. Gosh, why is Notre Dame in that conversation still? The Rose Bowl, they have Iowa, Arizona State, like I said. Sugar Bowl is Texas and Kentucky. What are we talking about here? And then they have the Fiesta Bowl is Cincinnati and North Carolina State, which that would be disappointing for Cincinnati. You go, oof, I agree. I guess we're going to the Fiesta Bowl, but versus NC State? Okay, fine. Anyway, obviously these things change. I think BYU fans, that's just say adios to independence. When it's gone, be so thankful because this is what you get in independence is, oh, we go 10-2 maybe this year, one of our most amazing years, which is if they go double digit wins this year and still went 10-2, but they end up in the independence, if they were in the Big 12 and they went 10-2, Scott, which would be with this type of a schedule still,
yeah,
they would be possible. They would be in that Las Vegas or in that Los Angeles Bowl in one of these like marquee bowl games. If it's not a New Year's Six, it would still be a pretty dang good bowl. So just kiss independence goodbye and never go back, never look back. My heavens, Scott, did you have fun tonight on the show?
I did. It was very enjoyable.
You know what? I'm going to take some inspiration from your parenting there. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go trick or treating this year.
You
I'm
should?
Going. Yeah. I'll say Scott Mitchell said I could.
You need to trick or treat at home. You just let them go gather everything, and then you.
I do it.
You
for
pick,
sure.
Pick
I do
out
it.
What you want.
I do the dad tax.
They'll never know.
I do the dad
They'll
tax.
Never know.
Absolutely. Although the soda thing has changed things considerably now. Yeah. I don't know what to do with all the candy. Actually, I do. My wife will eat it all. All right. For Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery, we'll be back again tomorrow night. Another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Until then, we'll see you then, everybody.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.